the fathers of comfort. The father of comfort. Bible study lesson number 6. This is, of course, our New Year's special. Before we begin, let's pause for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit and have objectivity, the teaching of the Word of God. We all need comfort at times. We all need to learn as believers how to provide human comfort to others while pointing them to the divine comfort that comes only through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, and peace. We thank you that you are there to provide comfort to us. We thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ is there as our defense advocate before the Supreme Court of Heaven to provide comfort to us. We thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit to be our comforter, our paracletos within us, our encourager, our exhorter. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, and peace. We look at 2013, Father, and we see a nation in chaos and turmoil. The pressures and problems of fear that's been driven in the American people in the last few weeks over the idea of going over the fiscal cliff, raising the taxes, everybody from the poorest home, while continuing to give away billions of dollars, flushing them down the toilets of the world around us. Trying to create a millennium without Jesus Christ. We see the circus atmosphere around college and professional football. Christians looking not at the athletic ability and the quality of the athletic ability and things being played on the games as they once were, but being caught up in all the hype and all of the psychological impacts of living or dying with their teams. Father, we're all guilty of this as sports fans to a point, and coming from the word fanatic. But Father, help us to have grace and mercy and realize that these temporal life things are going to pass away. Father, we pray that believers won't make heroes out of trash-talking, overpaid ball players who have no respect for anything but their own egotism. The television hype around it that's taken away the values of America by getting people's eyes on the circus of sports completely off of our eternal destiny and our need to relate to you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray for mercy. We pray that there might yet be revival in this country if it be not too late. We see your hand of judgment all over this nation, Father, with the weather, with everything that's happening. Yet no one seems to credit you with judging America, even when you judge it by letting us reap what we sow. But we pray, thank you, that no matter what happens, we have an eternal destiny through Jesus Christ with you. And we thank you for all the salvation and grace blessing given to us at the moment we believe the Lord Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, is a part of your grace gift to us. We thank you for it. We praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, we all have our problems. We all need to find some level of comfort in our soul, in life. The 20th December, a dear friend, retired Navy captain, went to the hospital for surgery for a malignant tumor on his kidney, discovered wrapped completely around the kidney. I understand it, but they had to remove his kidney. He has a tumor on the other kidney. Whether they can do something with that or you need a kidney transplant or what happens, we do not know. He doesn't know yet. The last report we received from him, he's in another state. We have to turn him over to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to pray that God will give him and his wife comfort. This time of suffering, we don't know if he's getting ready to be promoted or not. Dear friend of ours, personal friend and our dentist for many years, as in a rehab center, his wife with Alzheimer's, other problems they're going through, the family, his daughter, trying to handle the problems, some things that are going on up there, and others. All this occurring, another friend of ours promoted earlier this month on her husband's birthday. She went to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. We see sickness, sorrow, pain, and death all around us. We see people panicking over the fiscal cliff. We see other people throwing their money away like crazy. We heard a man state that he was $600 for a ticket into a Seattle Seahawks last football game of the season against the St. Louis Rams in Seattle. We see a paper carrying articles from people about how the fans down Seattle abuse fans who come in wearing the colors of other teams. Even an 11-year-old woman wrote about her 11-year-old son being abused by young adults down there, wearing the colors of the wrong team to suit them. Man was beaten badly. The Los Angeles Dodgers, or Angels won, I forget which. I think it was the Dodgers parking lot after a game. Hooligans. Sane mentalities over the circus that our leaders and officials are giving us. If we had true austerity in Washington, D.C., then the inauguration would not be a big frenzied party that they're planning for the re-inauguration. It would be a weeping, crying, mourning time. Instead of putting on a Roman circus down there. We have so many problems in our nation, moral problems. Financial problems, arrogance problems, trying to bring in the millennium all over the world without Jesus Christ. The problems reach different other areas too. Missionary friends of ours from Brazil, up here on leave, back in the States on leave, goes out tobogganing, hits a stomping. Fractures his ankle, all swelling so bad they couldn't go in and do the surgery they need to do to it. He just had to put pins through it for now. Another dear missionary friend of ours from Brazil we were with yesterday, him and his wife. They're retired. Drawing Social Security now. Drawing Social Security relieves the amount of money that they need for the mission field. And on the way back to the mission field, said goodbye to us yesterday. We said, we'll see you here. We'll see you in heaven. May not see you here again on this earth. We'll see you in heaven. Been there many years. Him and I have a history relationship because he was an old newspaper man before he was called to the ministry. Into the mission, foreign mission field. Been 40 years or more in Brazil now, I think. I lose track of the years and the time go by. Many people, many things going on. They're headed back to a country where he was telling us yesterday that there's a law been proposed that would force churches to grant membership to people that they totally rejected their standards of life. Church wouldn't have the freedom to say no. Homosexuals in Brazil. You know, you can't be a practicing, overt, outward, public homosexual, be a member of our church. Because God condemns homosexuality as a sin, which they believe very strongly, which I believe from Romans chapter 1. It has nothing to do with tolerating and reaching out with the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. It's the government dictating what you can do. And interfering with and taking away the freedom of believers to believe what they want stopped by the Word of God, the right of private judgment, the right to study and understand the Scriptures. Hate crimes against Christianity are going on all over the world. Others in the name of Christianity are striking out in hate against unbelievers of other religions, creating the same fiasco that we've seen in the past. 2013 has to be a year of total dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ and through Him, God the Father. We need dependence upon Bible doctrine. We need to wake up. It's hard. It's hard to keep a ministry going. You ask people for help, and they're too busy with their own things to give you the help that you need. They've got their own problems, health problems, financial problems, whatever it may be. Everyone running to and fro. I'm telling you, we'll have to, each one of us, sit down at night or lay on our bed at night. It's between us and Almighty God. Do we have peace in our soul? Do we have comfort? Back in 1901, a man by the name of Frankie Gaff, G-E-F-F, wrote a song called Does Jesus Care? J. Lincoln Hall put it to music. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for our mirth and song as the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. He cares. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a name less dread and fear? As the daylight fades in the deep night shades, does He care enough to be near? Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. He cares. Does Jesus care when I'm tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. The days are weary, the long nights dreary. I know my Savior cares. He cares. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it all to Him does He see? Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. The days are weary, the long nights dreary. I know my Savior cares. He cares. Beautiful old hymn, loaded with doctrine. Never heard it sung anymore. Couldn't tell you when I sung it last, probably 40 years ago. Something like that. Forgotten. What a great hymn. Great hymn. Father, we thank You for Your grace and Your mercy and peace. We thank You for this day. Help us to find comfort in our souls. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. My prayer to you. You'll find comfort in your soul, whatever your testing is, whether it's your children, your own health, you're without a job. Don't know that anyone's listening to my tapes is homeless. So a few years ago, there was a man that sat under my teaching years ago some. I ran into him on the streets of Seattle. He told me he was homeless. But he had one of these electronic machines, I'm not sure, smartphones, iPad type computer things or something. He said, because I don't understand all this modern technology and no crank food. You people can have your little doodads. I don't mind, as long as you utilize them for the glory of God, and they make things available in your life better. I just don't have a lot of them. But anyway, he showed me how he was listening to a pastor that I knew. Could listen to his tapes being played right over the little machine that he had, computer type mini thing that he carried around in his pocket while he was on the streets. He said he would listen to some doctrine. I remember I bought him a meal, didn't see him again after that. A few times he disappeared completely. Usually he caught me when I was just getting on or off of a bus, and I didn't know, or he was getting on when I was getting off or something. We didn't get to talk. No idea what happens. I'll meet him in heaven. Heart goes out to people like that. Where do we find comfort in life? Where do we find comfort in our soul? In us, Abba Father, cry earnest of our bliss on high, seal of immortality, comforter divine. The fact of the leadership of the Holy Spirit in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ is stressed in the accounts of his temptation after his baptism. In terms like led by the Spirit driveth. He was full of the Spirit, and God gave him the Spirit, not by measure. That's Matthew 4:1 with Mark 1:12, Luke 4:14, and John 3:34. Mark 4:1, Mark 1:12, and Luke 4:14 deal with Christ being taken into the wilderness. And the concept that the Spirit was given to the Lord Jesus Christ without measure by God. We have to function and operate inside God's divine dynasphere power system if we're going to make it. Jesus could speak of himself as him whom God had sealed. And since it is by the Spirit of God that we are sealed, we remember the forecast of John the Baptist that Jesus would come as the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed on the day of redemption. John 6:27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. The spirits that sent upon Jesus attested or sealed the Father's approval of his Son. And gave great value to his teachings, not only about the Spirit, but about every other topic, because of his own baptism with the Spirit by the Father. Jesus had the authority and ability to baptize in the Spirit. Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water to repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than me, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. This promise was as twofold promise to the nation of Israel. Every member of the nation of Israel that is alive during the millennia, during the tribulation, will be baptized into the Holy Spirit, or by the Holy Spirit, I should say, into the kingdom of God the Father on earth. We are baptized, as we know, into union with Christ and into the mystical body of Christ. John 1:33. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Spirit. It must be observed that the gospel never speak about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but always in and with the Spirit, the element in whom we are baptized. Dr. Graham Scroggie suggested that the chief source of Christ's teaching on the Holy Spirit is his upper room discourse and the continuous on its way to Gethsemane in John 14:16, then he gave us an outline of what Christ taught in his conversation with his own. As there are valuable references to the Spirit's ministry in the other three Gospels which John does not mention, these two must be brought into the Master's overall teaching. Such an important theme. There are certain things that are unmistakably plain and clear that every believer needs to understand if he's to advance in the Father's protocol, plan of the ages through spiritual maturity, and survive the testing of this world. The thing we have to realize is that to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit was also a person. not merely an influence or a force or an emanation from God the Father, but was a real person in and of himself, was only without a visible body as Jesus had. All the elements of personality belonged to the Holy Spirit. For instance, terms of personality of the Spirit were continually employed by Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, during his earthly ministry, used pronouns like he, him, and himself, used frequently throughout the gospel. Look at Mark 12:36. Mark 12:36. Where David himself said, by the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Mark 13:11. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought before what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given to you in that hour, that speak you. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now, count up the personal pronouns used by Jesus the Holy Spirit in John 14:16, verse 26, 15, 26, 16, 7, 8, and 13 and 14. And you will conclude that our fellowship is not with something, but with someone, not with an exhortation of divine energy, but with the person of the triune Godhead. Not with it, yet. Not with an it, but with a him. In Romans 8:16, King James read, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The NASV more correctly, I think, interprets it. Let's see what their interpretation is. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. The same is found in the Revised Version. Verse 26, in the same way the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words. The Holy Spirit helps our weakness and ability to pray intelligibly about situations by praying, uttering unutterable groanings. This is not the gift of tongues, for those groans are not in words. Such intercession is in accord with God the Father's will. Verse 27, for he who searcheth the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. That's God the Father. So we see the corrected translation would be himself and not it. Self. True spiritual worship is dependent upon belief in the Spirit's personality. Further, the qualities and operations of personality were attributed to the Holy Spirit by Jesus and his revelation of him. The Spirit can teach, reveal, and communicate truth. John 14:26. But the Comforter, that is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things come. So we see that comfort is a divine virtue. The Spirit can lead, receive, glorify, speak, announce, assist. Now consider all the things I'm going to give you. In John 14:16, we read, "A little while, and yet you shall not see me again. A little while, and you shall." I'm sorry, that's 14:16. My apology. I forgot to turn my page back. 14:16. "I will pray the Father, that He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." So we find that the Comforter comes to abide with us. Then in verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So we see that the Spirit comes to abide. The Spirit comes to teach. John 15:26. "But when the Comforter is come, which I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, He shall testify of me." The Spirit testifies of Christ. John 16:13-15. "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever you shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you all things which the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." Alright. The Spirit guides into truth. Mark 13:11. "But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given to you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not you that speak, but the Holy Spirit." Now this verse related to the communication gift of the apostles, the apostolic authority that would be given to them. But the filling of the Spirit helps us to speak, to announce the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost. We need to understand that. The Spirit leads us, receives. The Spirit can lead, can receive, can glorify, can speak, can announce, and can assist. The Spirit can impart joy and gladness. That Jesus Himself was anointed with the oil of gladness is evident from Luke's account of the feelings of Jesus when the 70 returned from the mission and reported what things they had accomplished. Luke 10. The 70 came back. Verse 21. "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank the Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, hath revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in their sight." The context of this was beginning in verse 17. "The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name. And He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." In other words, it's the power of God that's causing us to do this. So we rejoice in the Spirit. Look back at Psalm 45:7. Psalm 45:7. "Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness about thy fellows." Hebrews 1:9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with an oil of gladness above all thy fellows. Now, the Weymouth translation of Luke 10:21 says that at that hour Jesus was filled by the Holy Spirit with a rapturous joy. The NASV translates Luke 10:21. At the very time he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them unto infants. Yes, Father, for the way was well-pleasing in your sight. The Holman Bible translates Luke 10:21. Your Holy Spirit said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. I mentioned the Holy Spirit here as part of Luke's emphasis on the Spirit. The wise and learned people of the area had rejected the ministry of the 70 disciples, but the insignificant and children, the infants, spiritual infants, you could call them, had accepted their message. This was part of the plan of God the Father and his good pleasure. Good pleasure is manifest in his plan as seen in Ephesians 1:3-11. These things were hidden. Apocrypto, APOKRUPTO, to keep secret from some and reveal to others. It is impossible for the spiritually dead humans to know God the Father or his Son. Only the Son can reveal the Father. To anyone. No man cometh to the Father but by me. All right, we find then Paul reminding us that the fruit of the Spirit then next comes into our thinking. We see the hour with Holy Spirit was with rapturous joy, the way my translation. Well, this brings us to the thoughts of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The Holy Spirit was the ultimate source of the Lord Jesus Christ's joy and is likewise the one who inspires us to be glad in the Lord. This is why we need to think that we have to take the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere we go if we're going to have real joy. Now, your emotions may get stimulated. The band's playing an emotional type of music to get you worked up. The lyrics to the songs may appeal to your emotional sensuousness. You may think you're having a great time. Spirit that's poured out of a bottle may remove some of your inhibitions and make you think you're having a good time. You may get caught up in the psychological frenzy of 50, 60, 80, 100,000 people, depending on where you're at, in the sports arena, screaming and yelling their heads off. Being psyched up as a group while they pour down their Budweiser or whatever beer they're drinking. Bud's the one they always advertise on television for, usually, or whatever, you know. You only go around once. That's all, get loaded and have a good time. And you go out there and you get this party atmosphere in your soul. You think you're happy, but then what happens? Your team loses. Your quarterback gets hurt. Something comes out along the way down there, and you're shocked. Your emotions are shocked. You don't know what to do now. You've lost your joy because your joy was based on material things.
your success on your job, and you find joy in your job. Ecclesiastes 9:9, thus was known that a man can, an unbeliever can find happiness, which we call neutral happiness, in two things, in his marriage and in his job. Your happiness is in your marriage, and your spouse dies, or your spouse abandons you, deserts you, and leaves. Walks out on you. For whatever reason. Your happiness is in your children. Your children die, or your children spit in your face and walk away, which happens all the time. To go live their own life. Not all children do it, but some children do it. Your other joy can be in your job. The economy tanks so badly you lose your job. Company folds up. We must learn to seek our joy through the filling of the Spirit and the Father's protocol plan of the ages. The Holy Spirit was the source of all joy to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. Twice over, Jesus declared his joy was fulfilled in his disciples. Because of his inner fount of joy in the Spirit, Jesus carried no forbidding countenance, but had a somewhat gracious and attractive person, drawing all classes, even children, to him. Each one of us need to ask ourselves, do I personally know what it is to joy in God the Father by the Spirit who indwells me? Through my occupation with and appreciation for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the principal concept that we should see out of John 14:16-17. John 14:16-17. You've had it before, but I want to give it to you again to remind you. I'll read it from the NASB this time. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. The Holy Spirit is called the helper of the Paraclete. Also call that 14 John 14:26-15:26. We sing 16:7. The root of this word are the ideas of advising, exhorting, comforting, strengthening, interceding, and encouraging. The only other occurrence of the word outside this discourse, New Testament, is 1 John 2:1, where it is applied to Christ and translated advocate. Here and in the other passages in John cited above, Christ teaches that the Holy Spirit will indwell Christians. Verses 16 and 17 will help the disciples recall the events of his life in verse 26, and will convince the world, convicting it of sin, righteousness, and judgment. John 16:7-11. Fourthly, will teach believers the truth of Bible doctrine. John 15:26-16, 13-15. I will ask my Father, he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. Furthermore, the Lord Jesus Christ believed not only in the personality of the Holy Spirit, but also in his deity. Had he not been the third person of the Blessed Trinity, the Spirit could never have accomplished the work ascribed to him by Jesus. Jesus described many things to him. Only a divine person can convict men of sin, regenerate the sinner's heart, and cast out demons and judge Satan. Jesus plainly states that associations of deity were the spirits. Matthew 28:19-20. For a change of pace, I'll read from the Holman translation this time. Matthew 28:19-20. Go Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age. The command to extend their mission worldwide brings to a climax Matthew's repeated theme of Gentile participation in the Father's grace gift of salvation, the inclusion of four Gentile women in Jesus' genealogy, and the summons of the Magi to worship the infant Christ, foreshadowed the disciples' mission, making disciples of all nations. Baptism marked a person's entrance into the faith community. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit is a reference to the Trinity. Matthew's language shows that a clear understanding of Jesus' nature and identity as God were required before they went into water baptism, which is symbolism for our being death, burial, and resurrected with Christ. We died with Christ, retroactive position of truth. We were buried with Christ, and we rose again with Him, and we ascended with Him, and we're seated with Him at the right hand of the Father. Water baptism typifies retroactive positional truth. The Great Commission of verses 19 and 20 is preceded by a reference to Jesus' authority and followed by the promise of Jesus' spiritual presence among them. His presence is through the power and filling of the Holy Spirit, first and foremost, both are necessary if we are to fulfill our God-given message and mission that comes out of the message. Fulfill the message, mission by delivering the message. John 14:16, 26:16, 14, and 15, you can read on the associations of deity the verses before. We won't read them again. The attributes of deity were His, John 14:17 and 26:16, 7 and 12:13, Luke 2:26 and 27. The actions of deity were and continue to be His, John 3:5, 16:8 to 14, Luke 4:1 and 12:12. The character of the Spirit, the same, is indicated in the various titles Jesus uses of Him, each of which carries its own significance. Now I want you to take a look at some of the titles that Jesus gives to the Spirit. The first title we want to look at is the Spirit of Truth, John 14:17. The Spirit of Truth, John 14:17. Holman translation reads, He is the Spirit of Truth. The world isn't able to receive Him because it doesn't see Him or know Him, but you do know Him because He remains with you and will be in you. John speaks here then very clearly, giving Him the title, the Spirit of Truth. Another counselor of verse 16. He said, verse 16, And I will ask the Father, He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. All right, we have one called another counselor, also called the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. He guides disciples into all truth, John 16:13. The Spirit replaces Jesus' physical presence by permanently indwelling the followers. The divine presence for Jesus' followers includes the Spirit, John 14:15-17. Jesus Himself, verses 18-21, the filling of Christ and the filling of the Father in John 14:22-24. The Spirit's presence within us when we're filled with the Spirit, even if we're not filled with Christ, because we don't have the dark do so, essentially amounts to Jesus' own presence, because the Spirit testifies about Jesus, John 15:26. Helps disciples understand the significance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ indwelling in John 15:26, and helps the disciples understand the significance of what Jesus has done and accomplished, John 16:14. Jesus' assurance, I will not leave you as offerings, echoes Moses' parting words to Israel in Deuteronomy 31:6 compared to Joshua 1:5. By saying this, Jesus likely had in mind both His resurrection and His coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So we take Christ, there we have, we've taught you before, the doctrine of the reciprocal indwelling of the Godhead and work of the Godhead. We'll come back to that again somewhere down the line, I'm sure. All right, the Holy Spirit inspired men to understand the truth that sent it forth, but the Spirit is not only the revealer of truth, but the Spirit is a constant witness to truth. John 15, 26 and 27. The Spirit is a constant witness to the truth in John 15, 26 and 27. Sorry, I accidentally closed my Bible at that point. John 15, 26 and 27. Again, reading from the Holman translation. When the Counselor comes, the one I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. You also will testify because you have been with me from the beginning. When Jesus promised the Holy Spirit coming becomes the issue, the call of Jesus follows to serve as his witness. Recalls Old Testament prophetic literature where God's end time people are called as his witnesses to the nation. Isaiah 43:10-12. 44:8, the New Testament believers are promised the Spirit's help on times of persecution, Matthew 10:20, Mark 13:11, Luke 12:12, and the Spirit played a vital part in the Church's mission, Acts 1:8 compared to Luke 24:48, Acts 5:32, and Acts 6:10. The receptive and teachable minds of the apostles found their impression of the truth Jesus taught quickly by the Holy Spirit. He had promised the enlightening of the Spirit to lead his followers into a larger appreciation of the gospel. That was John 14:26. There's so much out of these verses that they're pregnant with truth. We have to keep coming back to them in different ways to emphasize everything. But the Counselor of the Holy Spirit, the Father, will send him in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. Now the Holy Spirit, mentioned in John 1:33 and John 20:22, is mentioned infrequently in the Old Testament, Psalm 51:11, Isaiah 63:9-10. Jesus' focus here was on the Spirit's future teaching ministry, 1 John 2:20 and 27. Now, promises of the future light and leadership of the Spirit has to be coupled, however, with obedience to qualify them for increasing the gifts of revelation. If you love me, keep my commandments, John 14:15. Jesus believed that his disciples would remember the truth he taught them, and that truth would greatly extend the influence of his teaching through the enlightenment, illustrative presence, and leadership of the Spirit of Truth, who would specifically empower the immature church of the church that would begin at Pentecost. Thus, all the books of the New Testament became possible under the direct guidance of the self-same Spirit. Look at 1 Peter 1:11-12. 1 Peter 1:11-12. They inquired at what time or what circumstances the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating when he testified in advance of the messianic sufferings and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. These things have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you with the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Angels desire to look upon these things. The Old Testament of God the Father did not specifically... The Old Testament people of God the Father, did not specifically know Christ or the gospel, but they did believe the promise of God that he had appointed a Messiah to come. Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith without having received the promises, but they saw them from a distance, greeted them, and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents on the earth. They came then to understand, as Peter conveyed to his readers, that the good news of salvation that the prophets sought and looked forward to had not been revealed, but had now been revealed, not in their time, but now. Salvation is in Christ. Christ was the Messiah, so great and the blessing so tremendous that angels desired to look into and understand these Bible doctrinal truths. The gospel excites their interest so much that they want to study it intently. Angels either failed and were never redeemed, the fallen angels, or the angels never failed, the holy elect angels, and therefore they do not know the value of redemption, so they learn it through observing us and through studying the scriptures that we proclaim. All right, now look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. 2 Peter 1:21 or verse 20. First of all, you should know this: no prophecy of the Scripture comes from one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spake from God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Peter argues that the prophetic scriptures affirm the apostolic witness. In the essence, he is saying, if you do not believe me, go to the scriptures. The metaphor of the prophetic scriptures is a lamp shining in a dismal place. Look at verse 19. So we have a prophetic word strongly confirmed. You will do well to pay attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dismal place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. So the metaphor of the prophetic scriptures as a lamp shining in a dismal place means that they act as a torch that shines in the darkened world, exposing the dirt, the defilement, sin, and evil, and make it possible for believers to separate themselves from it. When we do sin, we use 1 John 1:9, confess our sin, get back in fellowship, pleading guilty to the sin without excuse. We separate ourselves from evil. Believers love are to love Christ and live by Scripture, Bible doctrine. Doctrine is to be our light. Thy word is a light unto my path, lamp unto my feet, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 119. We make the word of God the light before us, a torch that shines before us. We'll do this until the day dawns and the morning star rises, which refers to Christ's return. In our hearts, it may refer to the glowing hope that occurs in believers when they see clear signs of the Lord's return, when they come to understand the rapture and believe in the doctrine that Jesus Christ can return at any moment, any time. It may be today, it may be 100 years from now, but he's coming back. He will come for his bride, the mystical body of Christ, the church redeemed, universal. Peter further explained that Scripture is trustworthy because it has a divine origin. Men moved by the Holy Spirit wrote the prophetic statements of the Old Testament. What delight we experience when the Spirit of Truth brings to our remembrance so many of the beautiful truths of Bible doctrine that was taught in the Word of God, particularly those taught by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Already referred to him as the Spirit of Truth, he refers to him as the Holy Spirit, John 14:26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father, will send him in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. Luke 11:13. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The parallel passage is Matthew 7:11, reads, good gifts to those who ask him. If the good things are related to the Holy Spirit, the wording may be speaking of spiritual gifts, Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. And the verse reflects Luke's emphasis on the Holy Spirit leading up to the day of Pentecost. The apostles and the other believers waited in prayer, Acts 1:14, for the baptism of the Spirit to come in that instance. The Heavenly Father gave the Holy Spirit to those who waited for Him. He answered their prayers, so it was actually an asking. We don't ask for the Holy Spirit, we receive the Holy Spirit automatically at the moment that we believe in Christ as our personal Savior. The Spirit is thus named 100 times in Scripture under the title Spirit, Pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, which is never used in the Revised Version, though the King James translation uses it translates it ghost. The qualifying term holy reminds us not only of the Spirit's own inherent holiness, but also that the Spirit is the source of our holiness. Be ye holy even also as I am holy. Such a command can only be realized as the Spirit imparts divine holiness. He is called the Spirit of Power. Luke 4:14. In ASV translation, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. News with him spread throughout the surrounding districts. Verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed. Luke 24:49. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power on high. The common Jewish division of the Old Testament, the prophets, including most of the historical books and Psalms, included in the writings back in verse 44. Now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke unto you while I was still with you, and all things which are written about me in the law and the prophets. The law of Moses and the prophets and the psalmist must be fulfilled, and he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. We seek the Scriptures for our interpretation and understanding. The promise of the Father is the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, but the coming of the Holy Spirit is not first of all, but among other things, is to teach us the full meaning of Bible doctrine as we study under pastor teachers who study and teach the Word of God. The Spirit of power, and the power comes as the divine dynasphere operates within, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and into the remotest parts of the earth. And in Romans 15:19, a passage that's come very familiar to all of you by now. Romans 15:19. And the power of signs and wonders and the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel to you. Fifteen thirteen. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul had preached the gospel. Illyricum is Albania, Yugoslavia areas. They've got a bunch of little names for them, Serbia and all that breakup of stuff, but you know what I'm talking about, the old Yugoslavia plus Albania. She was a part of Yugoslavia to World War I. the spirit of power. Power is the predominant feature of the Spirit's ministry. Not something, but someone. Power is a manifestation of the Spirit's presence. This is evident in the life and work of Jesus. All the miracles which the Lord Jesus Christ will perform through the Holy Spirit, not through his own deity, especially the cure of demonic indwelling, which was a conspicuous feature of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Master's miraculous ministry, establishing his authority as the Lord and Master. The disciples were promised that power would be theirs if the Holy Spirit came upon them. Jesus knew their preparation to continue his ministry on earth would come by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit when he would move into the divine dynasphere, God's divine power system. And apostolic history reveals what the Spirit accomplished through the apostolate. The Spirit's unceasing power is seen in the conviction of sin, John 16:8. And I'll let you look at that and compare, but we'll look at Acts 2:37. And now they heard this, they were pierced to the heart, and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do? The Spirit's work in the regeneration of the sinner is to give each one of us eternal life, John 3:3-5. And the sanctification of the saved sinner, John 17:17, 1 Corinthians 6:11. 1 Peter 1:2, we've taught all this in the past. Understand the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us. How can we not find comfort realizing that we have that the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth will lead us into doctrinal truth if we'll just commit ourselves to the study of the Word of God? That the Spirit of God will empower us with all the power that we need to live the Christian way of life on a day-by-day basis. When we stumble and fall, we confess our sins, get back in fellowship, pick up and move on. What a comfort this is to know. The Spirit that works to convict the unbeliever of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Spirit that regenerates the unbeliever. The Spirit that sanctifies the saved sinner and sets him apart. The Spirit can work on our behalf. What a blessing this is. What a comfort to our souls. That's why he's our Paracletos. Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We thank you that we have the Holy Spirit to guide us, to empower us, to take us through the glory road. In Christ's name we pray. Help us to